Hello, and welcome to Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. You know, when the Kindle readers first came out years ago, they weren't very accessible to people with visual impairments. It's nice to know that some of the newer versions of the Kindle are very accessible. And in today's show, we're going to hear about some of that.
We'll talk with Access Anna, who recently bought the new Kindle Fire HDX, about its capabilities and its accessibility. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from Anna.
Reading is extremely important to anyone. When we read, we disappear into other worlds and our minds are full of the thinking and knowledge of other people. I think this is especially important for those of us who are blind because, you know, if we're not working, sometimes we tend to isolate. So it's nice to be able to escape into other ways of thinking, into other ways of living, so that we can develop our own imaginations and our own ability to problem solve. Suddenly we're able to access mainstream books when they're made available to mainstream markets. So we're able to participate in that outside world. And so for that reason alone, I think it's important to be able to use Kindle and Nook and whatever else on our devices or on standalone devices like this one.
The more choices, the better.
I think you raised a really important point. You know, Pete's been blind basically since birth. And for the longest time, a book would come out, it would make the bestseller list, and quick as a bunny, 6 months or a year later, he'd be able to read it. And all of his friends had already finished the thing and were done talking about it. But with these EPUB devices, whether it's Kindle or Nook or one of the others, then you really have access to the same books at the same time.
Oh, absolutely. And then the other benefit is, before, you know, I could read one or two books if I were lucky. Now I can read lots of books. I can read most of the things that have been published on it. It's especially important for me. I work as a translator, and so I need to do a lot of research to learn about it so that I can translate this document appropriately. And now I can actually find material and I can read about it. Whereas before I would have to bamboozle a friend or family member into, you know, reading one or two articles and hoping that would work for me.
Well, between some of the changes in the copyright laws and the availability of all these EPUB books and reading devices for the blind, it's really opened up a lot of opportunities.
Oh, yeah. And in terms of education, I think the idea of having my textbook without having to spend weeks scanning and cleaning it up is just, it's phenomenal. It's fantastic.
Well, that was lots of reasons why not only reading is important, but why it's important to be able to use devices like the new Kindle Fire HDX. And we'll be learning all about how usable it is in the focus item of this show.
So there are no excuses anymore. The world of reading almost anything is wide open to us these days, no matter what your visual impairment.
You may remember Anna from one of her numerous earlier shows, but here she is reintroducing herself.
I'm Access Anna from That Android Show podcast, and I also have a sadly neglected Android blog. If our listeners are on the Eyes Free Android list, I'm on that list as Anna G.
And you also have a blog about knitting.
I do, yes. Fingering Yarn at WordPress.com.
So for our previous talks with you, we know that you are visually impaired. Do you have any sight at all?
No sight at all. I've been blind from the age of 7 due to some mysterious eye disease.
There are some mysteries like that in life.
And we will have links to all of the previous shows that she's been on, but there was one about knitting and actually three about the accessibility of the Android smartphone, and then another one she participated in about overcoming challenges.
So if you want to find those, check out our website, www.eyesonsuccess.net. Look for the show notes for this show or any other show, along with all the other resources we have on our site.
And these show notes will also include links to the blogs that she mentioned.
You are listening to Eyes on Success. 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 Success.
This week's focus topic is the recently released Kindle Fire HDX tablet and its accessibility. You can read a review of it in the March 2014 issue of Access World from the American Foundation for the Blind, and we will have a link to that review in the show notes as well. But here's Anna giving you her personal experiences and opinions.
You're going to show us how the Kindle device can be used for people with visual impairments.
Absolutely, and I became interested in the new Kindle HDX. That's the Kindle that came out on the market this fall, right around the Christmas season. And the cool thing about Kindle is that it's based on Android. It's very loosely based on Android. So, for example, you can't install Android apps onto the Kindle. But the plus is that since Kindle has a customized version of Android, it can also build accessibility in from the ground up. And so the Kindle device has a lot of the same accessibility features and gestures that an Android device does. So when people buy books, they can actually use the screen reader and the reading commands to read a book.
This is the version of the Kindle that a lot of people are referring to as the Kindle Fire?
Correct. It's the Kindle Fire HDX New Generation. There have been a number of generations of Kindles, and several have included accessibility, but I think this one has the most comprehensive implementation of that.
So you liken this to the Android smartphones, which have the TalkBack speech synthesizer built into them so visually impaired people can access the features on the phone. Does the Kindle Fire have the same TalkBack system and system of gestures built into it?
Pretty much it does. If you know TalkBack, you'll feel right at home with Kindle. You can use the right angle gestures to go back. That's vertical line down, horizontal to the left. Or to go home, vertical line up and to the left. But also we have the local and global context menus, which we would use a lot during reading. And that's the local context menu is a vertical line up and then a horizontal to the right. Once you do that, you draw a circle to access different granularity levels. Granularity is what Android calls reading levels. So you would be able to read by character, by word, by line, which is actually by sentence, by paragraph, or by page. By default, Kindle reads by page.
Oh, so that's interesting. If you're reading along and it says some word that you didn't quite catch, you can get it to spell it on the fly.
Right. You can just tap the screen to pause reading, and you can change the granularity level to say word to get to the word you want to spell. And then your options are either to use character granularity to spell the word, or you can go into the global context menu, which is another right angle gesture that's vertical line down and horizontal to the right. And you would draw a circle there to read continuously or to spell the last utterance.
Are these the same gestures that are used on the Android smartphones, or are there any differences?
No, they're pretty much the same. The Kindle is missing a couple of Android gestures. And since the Kindle came into the world, TalkBack has included more gestures for text selection. The Kindle does allow you to select text and to check the definition of a word. So it's got some really cool features. But that is done differently from TalkBack. So most things are just like TalkBack, but there are a few differences.
So as you pointed out, this device is somewhat different than using an Android smartphone. What else did you have to get used to?
One of the differences between Android and iOS is that Android gestures are faster and lighter. And iOS gestures, your hand moves a little slower and it's a little heavier on the screen. And so for me, what's interesting about the Kindle is that though it uses Android gestures, I think the way you touch the screen is more like iOS. So if you're used to interacting with a talkback device, you're going to have to use a slower and heavier touch. And so that takes a little getting used to.
And overall, how hard was it to make the transition from one device to another?
It was a pretty easy transition. There are little differences, but I think those are easy to absorb and easy to adjust to. It's not like learning a whole new operating system. For example, when you're reading a Kindle book, you would stop reading by tapping the screen, and you can bring up a menu by sliding two fingers down, and you can bring up a different menu by sliding two fingers left, and you can pick up yet another menu by sliding two fingers right from the edge. So that's new for me as an Android user. But once I got used to it, I found it very practical. So if I've got my fingers in the center of the screen and I slide them toward the left edge, I get a menu that lets me review my Amazon purchases and post customer reviews. Or if I slide my fingers to the right from the left edge, I get a kind of navigation menu where I can adjust the rate of the screen reader and other things which are really practical. I can make bookmarks and notes and so on. So that's really useful and really practical.
So it sounds like you only had a little bit to learn here, but there were some differences. How did you learn what differences there were and about these new gestures?
There is some documentation. There's a general overview of what you can do in terms of accessibility. In addition to the screen reader, we have magnification and closed captioning and a few other things for different disabilities. But there is one page that describes how to use Braille and how to use the screen reader and so on. There's also a tutorial that comes up the first time you turn on the Kindle. So it does help you learn the Explore by Touch / TalkBack gestures, but also some of the commands that are specific to the Kindle reader, like the menu that comes up when you slide your fingers away from the left edge of the screen.
Was there any initial setup that had to be done by either yourself or a sighted user to get it working this way with TalkBack?
Well, the cool thing is that the Kindle Fire can be set up by a blind person. All you do is you turn on the device and place two fingers on the screen. And within maybe 2 seconds, the device starts talking and it walks you through the setup. So I was able to set it up by myself. I had to enter my email address. Since I already am an Amazon customer and an Audible customer, I used my email address and password, the one that's associated with my Amazon account. I was able to do it all by myself, and the tutorial comes up very quickly, so you know what to do and you know how to mess with the device. And so it actually went really quickly. I think the hardest thing was connecting to Wi-Fi because, you know, the password is so long. But other than that, it all went really well.
Do you know if the Kindle Fire comes in a variety of screen sizes in case there's somebody with low vision who needs a different screen size?
Yes, there are two. There's one that's a 7-inch and the other one is, I believe, an 8.9-inch. So it's a little bit bigger. I don't think there's a bigger one yet, like a 10 or 11-inch. I don't know if that's in the works.
Are there options for varying the color contrast and color selections and things?
I haven't gone into the low vision settings yet. There are definitely options for increasing the print size. But I think I read somewhere that there is some degree of contrast adjustment. But I haven't gone into those settings yet.
Because I know I've been reading actually a fair number of Kindle format books on the Kindle app on my iPhone, and they do give you the choice of adjusting the font size, like you said, and there's a couple different fonts you can select. As for the colors, I've only got my choice of white on black, black on white, and then something that looks more like a book, which is kind of dark gray on light tan. Why somebody would want to screw up the contrast just to make it look more like a book, I don't understand. Given that this device is internet capable, Can you buy books directly from it, or do you have to do the old school method of buying the book on the computer and then transferring it to the tablet?
The nice thing is you can do your shopping. This device is very much an Amazon ecosystem device. So when you get to the home screen, you find documents, books, audiobooks, movies, music, and it's all stuff that you buy from Amazon. And so you can go into the store and buy physical items from the Amazon store, or you can buy books from the Kindle books, or you can buy audiobooks from Audible. I mean, it's all there for you to shop. And so even if you don't plan to buy anything from the store, or if you plan to only download freebies, you still need to enter your credit card information and so on to be able to download anything. So you can shop directly from the device, and it's a little dangerous, I'll tell you. Although one ironic thing is that this device is actually extremely accessible. And, you know, you can even, like, send yourself documents and read them with the app reader. Like, I sent myself a Word doc and everything's great. The irony is that this device is intended to, you know, to help you shop on Amazon, right? And so when you turn on the device, before you unlock the screen, there's this daily offer. And that is not accessible. So I'm thinking, you know, you're missing out on some customers, man.
I don't think you want to tell them that.
Well, there is that.
Well, okay, so let's assume that you've bought a book from Amazon for your Kindle, and that would be in EPUB format. Can you walk us through opening the book and starting to read it?
Sure. What you would do is on the home screen, we have an option called Books. You would double tap on that, and then you get a list of and all of the Kindle books you've ever bought. And so you simply buy it and you double tap it to start reading it. It's technically on the cloud, so you also have a download button. And I would suggest downloading it because you don't always have access to Wi-Fi. And so if you download it, it's on your device and you can access it there. And it's the same process basically for an Audible book, since Audible is now owned by Amazon. There is an option for audiobooks, so you double tap on that. Your entire Audible library is there. You would double tap a book to download it, and then you tap it to play.
So I understand if you're somewhere in the middle of the book on one device and you pick up another device on which you have a Kindle app, whether it's your home computer or your telephone or your Kindle Fire itself, that it remembers not only what page you're on, but any bookmarks and other annotations that you've put in?
Yes, it's got a great sync feature. And if for whatever reason it doesn't do it, maybe you were reading offline and you turned on your device or something, you know, it'll quickly remember, and there is an option to sync.
And what voices does the Kindle use to read material to you?
The voice of the Kindle is Avona. Some people really like that screen reader. I haven't recognized the specific voice being used. It's not as deep and smoky as Kendra. It's probably something more.
Maybe you can take us through some of the menu items and let us hear the voice in action.
Sure.
Calendar. Contacts. Help. Braille back. Music button. Videos button. Newsstand button. Audio books button. Web button. Photos button, docs button, books.
And now I have a list of my books. They're all dictionaries here.
Merriam-Webster's Spanish-English Translation Dictionary, Kindle Edition, Spanish. Kindle Reader, no menus visible. Swipe two fingers down when menus are off for continuous reading. Tap once to switch from continuous to granular reading. Then double tap for menu. Double tap and hold to select text. Showing items 1 to 6 of 6.
So you get that tutorial every time you open a book, and you can turn that off in settings. But that's helpful, you know, when you're getting used to the device and learning how to use it. This is not going to sound very good because it's bilingual dictionary, but I'm going to slide two fingers down so people can hear it.
Merriam-Webster's Spanish-English Translation Dictionary, Kindle Edition contents, dictionary entries, AZ abbreviations in this work, pronunciation symbols, Spanish grammar, conjugation of Spanish verbs, copyright.
That's a very nice voice, though. They've done a fine job, it sounds like.
Oh, they've done a great job. A friend of mine had the first generation of Kindle devices that included some accessibility. And it was nice in that I could read books that I wouldn't otherwise have access to. I would borrow her Kindle sometimes, but it was not at all as accessible as this is. This is really nice, and it's come a long way.
So are there any limitations or wishes that you had that they had put into the device that you miss?
Because I'm an Android user, I find the way it works logical. It makes sense to me. It seems natural and intuitive because I know the operating system. I suspect that an iOS user would find it not as intuitive or easy to use. The only thing, it doesn't have any settings like the ones that TalkBack has for single tap mode and things like that. So I miss some of the TalkBack settings I've gotten used to. Beyond that, I think it's fine. I was trying to test BrailleBack. BrailleBack is the Braille accessibility service. The Amazon App Store has its own version of BrailleBack. And I was trying to test it, but I couldn't get my device to pair, and I haven't found documentation on whether my device is supported since my display was added to BrailleBack relatively recently, so I don't know if it made it to Kindle or not.
But in principle, with some Braille displays, it should be possible to use it with this Kindle device, I take it.
Correct. Mm-hmm. So that would be very nice. I know at least the first 5 or 6 displays that work with BrailleBack should work on this.
Great. So people may want to check which devices are supported if they plan on using Braille with the Kindle device.
Right.
Is there anything else that we missed that you wanted to make people aware of?
The tablet has a lot of features, like it's got a browser and it's got email, and you should be able to use social media like Skype, Facebook, and Twitter. So if you're interested in doing that, the browser is definitely accessible. I think the Twitter app is also accessible. I think it's basically the official Twitter app, a Kindle version. So you do have access to more than just Kindle content. You do have a browser and you do have other things.
Can you download apps from the Google Play Store or only from the Amazon App Store?
No, it's only from the Amazon App Store. A lot of developers do make Kindle versions of their apps, but, you know, it's kind of hit and miss. I noticed that the bigger apps do tend to make it to Kindle, but it's not the same as the Android Play Store.
Now for this week's final item, the differences between using the physical Kindle tablet versus running the Kindle app on another device, and also some of the similarities and differences between the Kindle app and other reading apps.
I'm wondering if you've ever tried an app for the Kindle on your Android smartphone or a similar device.
Oh, definitely. I'm very addicted to reading books on my phone. The very first time I read a book on my phone was when Bookshare put out their Go Read app for Android. And I started experimenting with the app mostly so that I can talk about it on the Android podcast. But I really loved reading the books. You know, I could be at school, at my office hours, lonely, waiting for students to come by and not feeling like grading anything, so I could read my trash industry novel or whatever. And I just loved it.
And it's nice because you always have your phone with you.
Oh, totally. And so then Play Books, Google's book reading app, became more accessible, so I started reading that. And more recently, the Nook app for Android became very accessible. And just recently, right around Christmas, the Kindle app for Android also became accessible. Of those 4 apps that I just mentioned, I would say that the Nook app for Android is the one that gives the reader most control over things like reading by character and word and so on. In the Kindle app, you don't have that kind of flexibility, so it's nice to have the Kindle tablet itself to actually read by character and by word, you know, in case you want to get the spelling of a name or a place.
you don't find that you have the same flexibility then on the Kindle app that you do on the Kindle device itself.
Correct. In terms of reading Kindle content, I would say that the Kindle tablet is a better deal. The reason I got the Kindle tablet is that I had purchased some dictionaries. I'm a translator, and so I got some specialized dictionaries. And the Kindle PC app wasn't very accessible, so I was doing a lot of things to mess with the DRM and to be able to read those books. So now I can just download them to my Kindle tablet, and I can read them that way. And so for that alone, it's been a great device for me personally.
It's kind of unfortunate that they haven't built the same level of accessibility into the Kindle app on the Android devices, since a visually impaired person doesn't necessarily need the screen size to read their books better and have more detail. You know, it's mainly geared towards people who can see and worried about the clarity of the print.
Oh, absolutely. And I would really love to have this level of flexibility on my phone, because the phone is with me all the time. It's small enough to stick into a pocket or purse or whatever. And so I'm much more likely to use the content from my phone than from the tablet. The tablet is actually small and light. It's about the size of a half sheet of paper, and it's maybe a centimeter, a little less than a half inch thick. And so it's very small and light and easy to carry, but it's not as easy to carry as the phone that can fit in your pants pocket.
Right.
Well, and it would be in addition to the phone, because you're not leaving that at home.
Exactly. Exactly.
Anna, as we mentioned earlier, was fairly new at using this device because she recently purchased it, and she sent us some links that she's found very helpful in terms of learning the accessibility basics and how to use the device with Explore by Touch, and we will have those links in the show notes to this show.
So just go to www.eyesonsuccess.net. Also, you know, she talked about the accessibility of the Kindle on the Android smartphones, the Kindle app. And after our interview with Anna, I was curious to find out myself how accessible the Kindle app was on the iPhone device. So I borrowed Nancy's iPhone and checked it out. And remarkably, it was very accessible. I found all the buttons were labeled. I could access most of the features. So you might want to try that out if you have an iPhone, and try downloading the Kindle app, which is free on Apple's App Store.
That's it for show number 1416. The next 2 weeks will be a pair of shows. In the first, we'll be talking about the wide array of services provided by the National Federation of the Blind with Chris Danielson. And the following week, we'll be talking specifically about the NFB Newsline app with Scott White.
If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to hosts@eyesonsuccess.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Eyes on Success, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.eyesonsuccess.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Audioboo at Eyes on Success, and on Twitter at @_EyesOnSuccess. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Eyes on Success, and have a nice day.